How many of you were here last Sunday? Let me see, how many of you were here last Sunday? Okay. Can you remind me what we learned last Sunday? What are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Okay, I need you to shout on this side, so if you score on this side, you can help those who are not here. Wisdom, okay. I need one at a time. Okay, patience. Was there patience? It's a fruit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Wisdom, knowledge, faith. Thank you, Steve. Huh? Speaking in tongues, interpreting. Okay, this side. Are you here on Sunday? No. Some of them. Okay. Okay. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Continue. Healing. Miracles, working of miracles, faith. Is somebody counting? Are we nine? At nine? I think there's one more. Huh? Prophecy, discernment, yeah, it was there. Discernment of other spirits. Yes. Are you reading from the Bible? Oh my goodness! I give you a failing grade, all of you. Anyway. Yeah, we were in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and I felt in my spirit that, you know, sometimes we can be here and we can be going preaching the good word. You know, it doesn't mean that this is not a good word, but there are some of the requirements that we need in life even as we continue knowing what is regarded of us. And I remember, I thank you, Sister Lorraine, for bringing that, the gift of understanding, gift of fear of the Lord, the gift of piety. I don't know, maybe that is another interpretation. I don't see that. But I think it could be another interpretation. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are nine. But anyway, what I want us to continue to where we left. So we talked about the gift of wisdom, and the gift of knowledge, the gift of healings. All these gifts are given by the Lord even as he wills. Praise the Lord. And I remember we were checking verse number 7, if I'm just to go there real quick before we can tackle what is there for us today. Verse number 7. But the manifestation is given to each one for the profit of all. This was very, very crucial, even as we checked on it last week. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit all. For to one is given, that's where we end there. Let's see. So. It was in verse number 11. Okay, in verse number 11, this is what the Bible says. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So who wills in the distribution of these gifts? Who wills? Who in whose will do we receive these gifts? But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, as he desires. Praise the Lord. But to all this he worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So in other words, you know, he's the one who apportions, and as you're going to get into the next portion of the scriptures, it's amazing, you know, how the Lord is really, he can give it to anyone that he so wills and anyone who so desires. So even as we desire these gifts, the Lord, these gifts have been given to the body, or they are designed to be given to be active in the body for the profit all, as we saw in verse number 7. It is for the profit all. So if God has given you a word of wisdom, it is not for your own self. It's not just, it is there to edify you, but most of all, it's there to be a benefit and a profit to the entire body. If God has given you, a gift of the word of knowledge, when we talk about wisdom, we are talking about it is a unique way of speaking the word of the Lord, a unique way of presenting the word of the Lord. If the Lord has given you that gifting, it is for your own edification. But above that, It is for the edification of the entire body. If God has given you the gifting of knowledge, you know, so that you have so much knowledge, God can, you are predisposed to a position whereby the Spirit of the living God is able to speak certain things to you and give you an enablement to acquire certain knowledge that otherwise nobody has. And when you have that gifting to present that knowledge, it is not only for you. It is there to edify you, but above that, it is for the benefit of everybody. When God has designated to give you the gift of healings, I want you to understand that it is not only for your sake, but it's for the entire body. And we need these gifts in the church because at any one given time, there's somebody who is lacking of wisdom. There's somebody who is lacking of faith. There's somebody who is lacking of healing. There's somebody who might be sick. There's somebody who needs a miracle in their lives. And we need this gift so that they can be utilized in the body of Christ. Praise be to God. Amen. So it's very, very important for us to know that all these gifts, and we began by Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he was telling them concerning the spiritual gifts, do not be ignorant. So I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is also speaking to us, and he is admonishing us not to be ignorant about the power of the spiritual gifts. Amen. And it begins by saying there are certain ministries, certain activities. So I believe all this, the ministries that we have, the activities that are in the body are all giftings, all but by the same Spirit. Praise be to God. And he rations them according to how he desires. So there are some of us who might, you know, be having a word of wisdom when they stand up here and they're speaking, and you're wondering how are they able to articulate the word of the Lord? It is just because the Spirit of the Lord have found it worthy to designate that gift of wisdom or the word of knowledge, you know, to those people. Amen. And we are supposed to appreciate the gifts that the Lord has given us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, you know, sometimes, you know, when you read the word of the Lord, we only have just a very short time to study the word of the Lord. It is, I believe, our responsibility is when you go home, get a good concordance, go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, study for yourself. Amen? This, I may not really say everything, but it will be a good opportunity for you to say, oh, I didn't really understand about wisdom. Get into a self-study type of a thing. Research the word, and the Spirit of God will be able to speak to you in an unparalleled way, way more better than anybody can do. Praise be to God. Okay, so we want to begin today briefly, because we don't have much time, about the unity and diversity that we have in one body, beginning from verse 12, and I believe we're going to finish up this. I see we don't have much time, but I'm going to try as much as possible to speak the things that the Lord, and again, if you go home, just get to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Study for yourself. Make it a personal Bible study, and you'll be able to be edified by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Praise the Lord. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, all the members that we see belong to that one body, being many, but they all make up as one body. So is also Christ's body. 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, and I really love this, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. Does your Bible say that? But now God has set the members of each one of them, we're talking about the members of the body, in the body just as he pleased. So it is by his design that he put the members that you have that we have in the body of Christ. And Paul speaks in unparalleled wisdom, and he puts a parallel of the, you know, on the, you know, about the body of Christ with the body that we all have. Amen. Now your body was designed by God. Amen. And the things, the members of the body that you have, they're in that position by design. Amen. There's no way you can say, oh, you know what, I'm really unhappy by where my eye is. And so you go to a doctor and tell them, oh no, I think my eye would be really nice if it's next to the knee. You'll be malfunctioning, or you'll be lowering the intellect and the wisdom of God, because he puts everything in your body by what? By design. The designer thought about it. He thought about you. You know, the Bible says that we are fearfully and... Come on now, can you say it aloud? We are? So no matter whether somebody has told you, or you have heard somebody saying that you are not beautiful, or you are not handsome, you know, you need to put aside those comments, because beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, and in the eyes of my Father, I am looking handsome. In the eyes of my Father, I am looking beautiful. Amen? So when you look yourself in the mirror every morning, you can as well say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And you can match up to your workplace knowing that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter your stature in your life. It doesn't matter whether you're short. It doesn't matter you have a wide nose. There are people who have wide noses than others. There are people who have pointed noses. But it is God's design who gave you that particular nose. Yeah? And you know, there are people who look at them, there are people actually who do not go to the mirror every morning, because they don't like seeing themselves, the image of themselves. Amen? Just because somebody, some teacher said, you know, you are not any more worthy than a donkey or a cow, that does not make you so. Learn to appreciate who you are, because you are here by design. Somebody say, I'm here by design. Come on, tell your neighbor if they don't believe it. I'm here by design. Oh, come on. You don't believe it now? You've been designed by your maker the way you are, in a beautifully... Let me tell you. Think about how scientific technology has led us into knowing that, you know, that you can put a fingerprint and no other fingerprint resembles yours. Don't you think that is unique? They're now developing systems in the airport whereby, you know, you no longer have to put a thumb, or you no longer have to, you know, to carry a card, you know, to swipe your way through into an office. All you got to do is have a scanner scanning your eyes, because the way the configuration of your eyes is unique to the entire 9 billion people we have in the world. What do we call that? That is super, I don't know to how many power, design. That God in his own integrity is able to create us unique in our own positions and articulative in the way God has put us into. So that makes everybody significant. Amen? So do not allow negative sentiments spoken over your life. Because as unique as your eye configuration and as your thumbprints are, so are even yourself, the entire being who you are unique. You are unique in the way you reason. You are unique in the way you understand things. You have different amplitude than any other of the 9 billion people in the world. You are very special. Amen? And that's why when we even pray for our children, or even when we treat people, you need to treat them with great importance, because they are a final product of a designer. His name is God. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, the Bible, Paul, in his parallel, he resembles the body of Christ with the various members that we have in the body. And where are we? What verse did we read up to? Okay. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. 19. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? Where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Praise the Lord. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable On this we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need to be, you know, treated in such manner, because the Lord has already bestowed honor on them. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed this in the church. First apostles, second prophets, that teachers, after that miracles, then the gift of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Praise the Lord. Now, it is imperative for us to understand how, and I know most of you, this is really basic knowledge, to understand how God put the various parts of our bodies together. If you can really understand that, if we can understand how God in his uniqueness put our parts together, you'll be so much at peace in the area that God has called you. The Bible says that the eye cannot speak to the foot, or the foot cannot speak to the mouth and say, you know, I do not need you. Let me begin by saying this. In your body, there are some parts, and we all know, there are some parts that are well presentable, right? And the parts that are well presentable, you do not cover them, right? Like, for example, I would assume that the parts that are well presentable are our eyes, right? Our ears, our nose, you know, the parts that are presentable. And that's why we take care of them every single morning. You don't wanna go out in the public and your hair is undone, because your hair is well presentable, right? So you take care of your hair, you know, you have your ears. For the ladies, they would put them their earrings just to add some creativity in your ear, you know. I'm here to see a woman who wakes up in the morning, do not even take care of her face, and she just leaves and goes anyhow, just like that. But they know how to take care of themselves. The parts of your body are some parts that are presentable. And God has placed them in places whereby everybody can see them. Amen? But again, we have parts of our bodies that are less presentable, right? And those parts that are less presentable doesn't mean that they are less necessary or less important in the body as the parts that are more presentable. Now, the parts that are less presentable, you all know them, right? And they are less honorable, so I don't see, unless you really, there's something psychiatric that is really not going on in your mind. I don't see men who are well dressed in their bag and they present their tummies just going like this, you know. I'm here to see somebody who just, you know, puts on a very nice shirt tie, and the whole of their bag, they make sure that the tailor custom makes it so that the part of their rear is all, everybody can see it, right? They are less presentable. You know, you see some parts of the body, you see, you know, some people, even, it's really, by the way, it's an eyesore, you know, or rather, it is really displeasing. You see some parts, you want to turn away because they are less presentable. Yet God says, those parts that are less presentable, I give much honor to them. Why? Because you know what? You put clothes on them and you protect them. Praise be to God. Does it mean that they are less important in the functioning of, or in the ultimate goal of the functioning of the entire body? No. Okay, there are also other parts in the body. For example, that the internal organs. If, for example, if somebody came up here and you say, and he just speaks to us, and for example, he has a super ability to just get his hand inside his tummy and thrashes off the intestines, and you see them, some of you are going to get out of this building, right? And you're going to get scared. Why? Because those parts are less presentable. Think about what the gut does for you. Without the intestines, without the pumping of the heart, without the liver, without the internal organs, where would you be today? Yeah? There are some parts that we used to call vestigial organs. In other words, their function was less defined in the body. But I believe there is no part in your body that has no function. Amen? And think about what the Bible says. That the head is what? In the body of Christ, who is the head? The head is Christ, right? The Bible says the head cannot say to the foot. And the foot, I believe, maybe is the least things, the least member of our body that we disregard. Because why? It steps on the mud. It steps on everything, little thing that your hands even would not even dare to touch. It could be maybe one of the most less significant member of your body. And if I'm to ask how many men here, particularly who have, who take care of their feet. I know for women, we go for, do we call it pedicure or we call it manicure? Pedicure for the feet also, right? Manicure is for the hands. And for the feet is what? Pedicure. So I can ask you, how many people really take care of, you brush your teeth every morning, right? And you wash your face every day. But how many people do pedicure on their feet? How many have ever done pedicure on your feet? If I am to ask every one single one of us to remove your socks and we see your feet, some of you will not even, you would say, Pastor, that's too much. Can I show you in the privacy of just between me and you? There used to be a guy I used to work with in Barclays Bank long, long time ago. And he used to have these tournaments, we used to go for soccer. And we would go and people would remove clothes, in the locker room. I'm going to tell you, this guy was really thin. But he used to have baggy clothes. Every time you never realize his his size. But he would go to the locker room and everybody would look at him and say, "Hiya, this is really you." Because the guy, in fact, what people started saying, "Nakweli mtu ni nguo," because mtu ni nguo means a person is clothes. Or rather, I don't know how to say it. A person is made. You never recognize who a person is really is. Until. You just like I look at Pastor Julius, I'm able to see him because I associate him with the clothes that he puts on. But there are some people right now, if I tell them to remove your feet, especially this part here, you'd run away. But what I'm trying to say is this. Even in the body of Christ, he says the head cannot speak to the foot and say, "I have no need of you." That means that no single one in the church is insignificant. Now realize this, that the cells of a human body are coordinated, or they have a similarity in that they have the same genome. They have a strand of a DNA and they all resemble each other. Is that true? Come on, I know we have a lot of medical people here. Is that not true? But yet, the members of the body that we have do not look like each other, both in size, in function, and in what else? In shape, the way they articulate their function. There are some organs that really, they don't need to work every single moment. There are some organs, whether you like it or not, every single minute, they are working for you. Do you know that? Like, for example, when you're seated, your feet are not doing any work right now. But a time comes when you have to wake up and your feet will have to take over. But we have parts in your body, like the liver is consistently cleaning up your body of impurities. There's the heart that pumps blood to every single. Now listen, these organs do not function for their own benefit. The heart is not pumping blood to itself, but it is pumping it to every single organ and every single cell in your body. Are you listening to me? If the heart stops, or if you have a malfunctioning heart, your body will react and you'll say, "Hey," hand will say, "Hey," or maybe the brain will say, "Hey, something is wrong. I'm beginning to feel some numbness in my hand. What is happening?" And your mind will tell you, "I think it is time to go see a doctor." Why? The heart is not pumping blood for its own, but it is when it ceases to work, it affects the whole function of other members in the body. Are you listening to me? If today your feet, if you didn't have any, God forbid that you didn't have no feet, but there are people, you've watched even in documentaries, somebody for some reason, there could have been an accident, and these people did not have any feet. If they don't have to have feet, they have struggle in the performance of the function, that the ultimate function of the entire body is kind of crippled. And they have to engage other elements of their bodies, like the hands, to substitute for the function the feet are supposed to do. So the Bible says that the head cannot speak to the feet and say, I don't need you. Amen? So in other words, Jesus is saying, even to the least, if there is anyone in the body of Jesus Christ, Jesus cannot look down on you and say, I do not need you. I need somebody who is well capable, somebody who is well mannered. I need somebody who is well cultured. I need somebody who is well educated. I need somebody who has wisdom. I need somebody who has a zeal for me. But even if you are the least and you have the least function or the least member in the body, Jesus looks at you and he says, I cannot do without you. Are you listening to me? And as I told you, that different members of the body perform different functions. Now, the whole body cannot be an eye. If the whole body is an eye, then where is the hearing going to be? And that's why it's very, very important for us to understand that there, the Bible, Paul speaking to the Corinthians, he tells them that there are different, diverse ministries, there are diverse activities, there are different kinds of gifts, because as a whole body, the ultimate purpose for the body of Christ to be accomplished, it will all take these diverse giftings and diverse members to fit in their positions so that we can work our work in our designated positions designed there by designer, in order to ultimately perform the ultimate purpose. So when we fail to function in the place where God has put you, guess what? You are frustrating the entire function of the body of Christ. For example, just as we have different functions in the body, God can call you to do the most insignificant job that nobody, when you do it, nobody will ever notice it. Nobody will ever compliment you. Nobody will ever pick up the phone to call you. But let me tell you, in spite of the fact that somebody will never call you, somebody will never compliment you, somebody will never give you a pat on the back, does it mean that the master doesn't see it? He sees it. And it goes on the book of records that this young man, this young woman, this child of mine does everything as I have designated for them. Amen? Now, we have so much infightings in the church today. People are fighting for power. People are fighting for positions just because we don't recognize that God distributes these functions in the body as he pleases. Let me tell you, church, when God blesses you and you are in a position whereby you can be called a mature Christian, it doesn't matter whether I'll be called to go and clean up the restrooms. I can dust up the chairs. I can clean up the walls. I can cook up the tea. I can wash up the utensils in the body, because as I do it, I'm doing it for the glory of Christ. Now listen, when the various functions of the members that you have in the body, when the heart pumps the blood the way it's supposed to pump, when you walk the way you're supposed to walk, when the hand performs its functions, when the eye sees what it's supposed to see, all this brings glory to the functioning of the body. What happens when you see danger? What happens when you see danger? What part of your body is activated? The eyes, right? So when the eye sees danger, what do you do? Does the eye pluck itself from your body and say, eh? Kaguna njia, are you just running? Does it disconnect from the whole body? But the eye sees it, says there's danger here. And it communicates with the head, tells Jesus, help me. Lord, I need your help. And the whole body now gets into gear. The feet gets to work. The hands begin to balance. And your ear listening whether the voice is coming louder and louder or running away from danger. And the brain, Jesus tells you, do not run towards the danger. Run away from danger. And every, you know, the heart begins to pump blood more so that you need more oxygen to energize the muscles so that as you run, you don't get so tired. And you're running and your adrenaline is being released in your body. All these things work together for the glory of. If the eye sees danger and he says, you know, the other day I wanted to go to Walmart and just to see some things, you know, I've really, really, this body does not even take me anywhere. You know, all I see is this house, four walls, and I don't go anywhere. So you see danger and the eye says, I'm not even going to concern. You know, the feet don't take me. So you stay there. Let me tell you, danger will come and, but it doesn't, even if your feet strike, if there's a word like that, if your feet said, I'm not going anywhere, the eye will never say, I've seen danger, and fails to communicate with the rest of the body so that it can protect the whole body. Are you seeing what I'm saying? In the same manner, when God has given you a position to work in the body, you do it for the betterment of other people, not because other people have refused to ascend up to their position of duty. Are you listening to me? If God has called you, you know you're the one who comes and cleans up this place and looks good. And you know, you, as I was telling you last Sunday, there are people, God will designate gifts for you. There are people who will come into this church and you'll see, oh, you know what? I need to be in the worship. And every time you come here, you feel, I need to be in the worship. I need to be in the worship. A time has come when you need to respond to that call. Are you listening to me? The Lord maybe have put something in your heart and you say, oh, when I come into the house of God, or when I go out to my places of work, I see this lady, she's always alone. And every time you have heard the whispers from the Holy Spirit, you need to talk to this lady. You need to talk to this lady. Who knows? Maybe that lady is contemplating suicide and the Lord may be sending you to just give a word of encouragement or just go to listen to what this lady has to say. Do you know, let me tell you, most of the problems we have in the world and in the people of the world today, they don't have an outlet. And they are looking for somebody just to sit there and to sit there and listen to what they are going to pour, and maybe they are going to get a relief. But we are so entangled in our own activities, in the things that benefit us alone. But the Bible says that God has endowed these gifts. It's an endowment of a gift. God has given these gifts for the benefit of all. Amen? There are some people here in this church. God has called you to be the heart. If you fail to fall on your knees and pray for this ministry, things are going to go astray. And nobody, maybe even the pastor doesn't know you. Maybe I don't even know you, but in your closet, you kneel down and you pray for this church. And that's why when we come here in this church, it's not just because the worship are doing a splendid job, but just because you have stepped up into the role that God has given you and you have started to intercede for this church. Now, for your information, let me tell you, no one in this church, no one in any church of Jesus Christ is called just to sit on the pew. Every single one of us has been given something as unique as you are for the benefit of the body of Christ. Amen? If I'm to ask you in private, and maybe if I'm to talk to you face to face, you can tell me, there is this thing that the Spirit of the Lord has been putting in my heart. Every single one of you, every single one, every last one of us, you can tell me, there is this burden that the Lord has put in my spirit. It might be to encourage somebody. It might be to just preach the word of the Lord. It might be maybe to sing. It might be to do something that will bring an ultimate glory to God. And I was reading something that Charles Spurgeon said. And this is what he said. There's only one thing that can come into the body. That when it comes into your body, it serves itself. It produces food for itself. Everything that is within it produces for itself. And it does not care for any other thing in the body. And he said, that is a cancerous cell. It's called cancer. When somebody has cancer, what happens? The cells they are self-serving, they're self-producing, they perform the way they perform themselves and elongate themselves and propagate themselves is in contrast with what every other thing is done within the body. So just as in the body of Christ, we have to be aware of cancerous things that are self-serving, people that are self-driving. They are doing things just to benefit themselves. Let me tell you, church, we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. When God has called me to be a pastor, when God has called you to be an evangelist, take that gift in humility. Thank Him because of all the people within the church, He chose you. Amen? If God has called you to be the gut or the intestines, be the intestines. Do the job of the intestines and God is still going to bless you. Amen? Know that without the function of the intestines, the body will not be able to function. If God has called you to be the heart, be the heart. If God has called you to be the nose, continue breathing in and breathing out air so that your body can be regulated. If God has called you to be a mouth, do the function of a mouth, okay? And let us quit just envying And especially if you're in a position whereby you've been called to be a member that is not honorable. God has balanced everything else up. He says, if you are a liver, are building a ribcage to protect you, you may not really be well presentable to other people, but I have made sure that I protected you. And when people know that you're protected, they will honor you, because they will wonder, why has the Lord designed you and put a protection round about that organ if it is not important, right? God has put protection right about your internal organs, and we value them and we care for them, right? Some of us, you know, take medication for your heart. You know, you take a vitamin every day. You're supposed to take a fish oil tablet every day. I mean, some other things that you're supposed to take. You take that so that it can help regulate your blood pressure. Yeah? So that we have a lot of faith when it comes to the inner workings of our body. And yet we've never set our eyes on them. We take medication, we run, we do some exercise so that we can have a full functioning body. Amen? Just so in the same way, we act in the same manner. So if God has called you to be a less honorable member, do not envy what the eye sees. Because without you performing the right function to where God has put you, the whole function of the whole body is going to be frustrated. Amen? Amen. And I wish we can get this so intently. If the church, and I'm not talking about our little church here, we're talking about the general church. If the entire church recognizes and learns to appreciate the things that the Lord has given us, we'll never have any fightings. We'll respect each other. Amen? I will honor the person who comes and cleans up the toilets. I will honor the person who comes and cooks tea. I will know that without their function, the whole entire function of the body breaks down. Amen? I'll pray for them. I will regard them just as I would regard the well-presentable parts. Praise be to God. And in so doing, will bring glory to Christ. Can we learn, can we endeavor to respect and to honor one another? Let us learn to encourage the people, especially the people who perform they've been called to do certain things, and when they do them, we kind of, there's a tendency of a human being to just look down on them. Can we appreciate them? Encourage them to do what they do. Amen? And we who have been given presentable ministries, Let us not think that, you know what, oh, we are so, you know, I am the guy, you know. I am the only guy within this congregation that God has found, you know. And to think that I am more, you know, I am more better than those other members of the body. No, we are all equal. The whole strand that we have is a DNA strand that connects each one of us. And all for the function of the entire body to the glory of Christ. Can we stand on our feet? Amen.